any other apology?
Morning, Honorable Chair. The two apologies I've received is from Mr. Kwankwa and Ms. Piri.
Chair, I indicated I'll be going to the WIPS meeting, but yes. I'm hoping to be back.
Thank you for that. Honorable members, because the RS course still having some technical problems somewhere, they are on their way. But it's so long, I think we can ask the department, Mr. Director General, just to take us through so long until they come and present their own section.
No, thank you, Chair. As directed, the Acting Director General will proceed. Thank you for good greetings to the honored members, and thank you for your indulgence, Chair, where Alexco, as you know, they operate somewhere in the Northern Cape. To get here, they have to drive. Thank you very much for your understanding that we deal with them earlier. Chair, without much ado, I'll then ask the Acting DG to lead with the presentation.
I was just pointing out, Chair, it's not project, but we have the hard copies circulated, yes. So we'll just speak to those. Chair and honorable members, good morning again. Chair, we have been requested to speak on the governance challenges at Alexco. We'll speak to those, and then the Alexco team will speak to these issues from their own perspective, as well as cover the financial challenges that the business is experiencing currently. And also on our side, we'll just speak to the fact that we have brought in an administrator into the business as part of this presentation. Chair, if I may go straight to slide number 3, which shows the business, the structure of Alexco. As we are all aware, it has a sole asset in the mine in the Rachtersveld in partnership with the community there. The head office of Alexco is located in Woodmead in Johannesburg. And as we'll indicate later, those are some of the areas that we need to look at closely with regard to costs. We have gone quite far in terms of fulfilling obligations in terms of deed of settlement and the land transfer to the community. At some later point, we'll get to speak to those. Currently, the mine produces about 50,000 carats on an annual basis, which is less than 1% of South Africa's total diamonds production. So it's a very small asset if you look at it relative to the rest of government's portfolio. And if you look at this entity in terms of its presence in the Rachtersveld, it's quite a significant employer. So to those communities there, it may not sound like much from out here, but it's a big deal in that part of the world. Especially when you consider the fact that some of the big producers that used to be in that part of the world have depleted their resources and they have packed up and left. The likes of De Beers, West Coast operations, as well as sex operations in the area have closed. Chair, going to the next page, which is slide number 4. We speak to the specific challenges at the business, governance challenges. Chair, we have been inundated from around 2017 with numerous complaints from contractors at the mine where they felt that there was a victimization that was going on when they raised concerns with regard to how the diamonds that they recovered were being not only accounted for, but in terms of the prices that were being realized. And the time we the DP team went down to speak to the contractors and also to interview the board and management at the time to get a sense of the validity of the claims that were being made. And when we left there, we left with an uneasy feeling that there was indeed arbitrary action that was being taken, that due process were not being followed in terms of deciding who should mine on behalf of the PSJV and who should not. And we felt that it was necessary that an investigation be launched to look into these allegations. At the time, we contracted another law firm. This was sometime last year, to look into these challenges. Unfortunately, that law firm was found to have been entangled in some issues at PRASA. So we ended up having to cancel that. But we now have Goboto Forensic, a team on board to help us to get to the bottom of these issues. And our brief to them has been they should look at some of the decisions that were made with regard to how marine contracts are awarded, because as much as this is a pooling arrangement with the community, the marine resources remain public assets. They're still owned by the state. The land assets, including the land itself, are the ones that have been transferred to the community. And we have also asked them to also look at the diamond marketing and sales company, which has been utilized to sell the diamonds and to do some beneficiation, and because there were challenges that were being raised there, and also the arrangement was a bit peculiar, so it was felt that we need to look at, have a close look into that. The issues around the valuation of diamonds, whether the prices that were being realized in the market relative to what the diamonds were deemed to be worth, was also an area that was raised, and also the issues around visibility and transparency in terms of how these diamonds are handled by the sales company and the mine were also we requested to look at them. And these were important for the contractors, because Alexco doesn't put up the capital to mine. This is done by the miners on the basis that when the diamonds are sold, then there will be a share of the proceeds. While we were there, the issue of the coffer dams were also raised. This is where Alexco will push back the sea to reveal a diamond bearing gravel and recover that, obviously for recovering diamonds. It was felt that there were allegations that those were not properly authorized. So we asked them to look into them. But the last thing that we need is for the environment to be negatively affected by operations. On slide number 5. We speak to the recent developments at the mine where the mine got into a situation where it was unable to pay salaries. There were appeals to government to assist. Government had put in about 200 million rand into business in order to recapitalize the mine and ensure the right equipment is brought in to ensure that there is a sustainable mining operations happening there. And out of that, we felt we also went back to the mine to really assess things for ourselves. And we had interviews with various stakeholders. And the team, when we left, we felt that there's challenges there with regard to leadership and decision making. And the mine is not an SOC. It's a joint venture with an SOC, which is Alexco. So the reach of the department is rather limited. But we felt it's necessary that we step in and see how we can right size the boat as it is. And we felt that the management was not in control. For instance, one of the The peculiar things that we observed while we were there is that we found workers in the TV room watching TV, and meanwhile there are land mining operations that requires people to be deployed there to go sweep the bedrock and try and recover some of the diamonds there, and contractors were rather being brought in to do that work. I'm saying, if you have in this financial crunch you're in, why are you not utilizing your own staff? And basically the response we got is that the workers refused to go work on the bedrock. That was the state of affairs that we found then. And when we spoke to the mine officials, and they were saying, no, you know, they have additional more staff than ordinarily they would need, because they had to make political decisions, which we found a bit odd, because it's a business, they must be running along business lines. Of course, we give socioeconomic expectations on our side through the shoulder contract to the SOC Limited, that is Alexco. But that should also be balanced by the business case. So those are some things that we observe. And what that led to, Chair, if you go to slide number 6, we felt that it's necessary to bring in someone really who can do a proper deep dive into the organization, so that they could assist us in terms of identifying what are the causes behind the state of the business. Because from where we are sitting, and this is very generally held view by those that know the diamond resources in that part of the world, that they should be adequate to ensure a sustainable business operation. Because relative to the other resources that have been exhausted there, we have not mined as extensively, especially the marine resources, as Alexco. So on that basis, we have brought in an administrator, as detailed in paragraph 12. There, the MOI of Alexco makes provision for the shareholder to step in and be able to appoint an administrator. It's not a business rescue practitioner per the Companies Act. That's just what we are seeking to explain. And we gave the administrator a brief to say they should do a review and analysis of the revenue side of the business, to just get a sense that what that which is supposed to be realized isn't realized. And the administrator will get to speak later on that. Also, to look at the cost structure of the business, there's elements of duplication between the mine and Alexco. We felt that needs to be properly looked at. Point number 3, under 12, is also speaking to the same thing. We've given them a very clear directive to look at getting out of the SSI contract. We believe that it's onerous, and the value really that's been realized cannot be justified for the mine. We found that obviously, as part of looking at the revenue side of things, you need to look at how the mid-water and deep-water mining operations could be better exploited, and there must be the right sizing of the business, and of course the issues of corruption and state capture that will come out through the Gobondo forensic investigation must be properly dealt with. So in a nutshell, that is the brief for ourselves, and that's where we find ourselves at with this business, Chair. Thank you so much.
DG, can we then so that we try to run this efficiently, we ask the Alexco to also present the other part, so that when we engage in both presentations.
Start on slide 4 of the Alexco presentation. Let me first introduce myself. My name is Lloyd McPatty, and apologies for being late. I was under the impression starting at 10 o'clock. Okay. In the in the 4 days I'm in the role, what I found is that the joint venture is an unincorporated joint venture, so it doesn't conform to either the Companies Act or the PFMA. It's governed by the deed of settlement and a unanimous resolution. There's an executive team at the PSJV, there's an executive team in Johannesburg, and the executive team at the PSJV is overseen by the PSJV board. And the deed of settlement states that the PSJV board must be 6 members, 3 from the PSJV, 3 from Alexco head office. So there's a 6-person board, although Danel has a, although Alexco has a 51% interest in the business. If you go to the next slide, slide 5, that just details the progress in terms of the deed of settlement, the transferring of the township, because at the moment Alexco basically maintains the entire town, and there must be a payment of 45 million in lieu of rentals for the next 10 years, so that equates to an amount of about 4.5 million rand a year. And that will need to be looked at, that the money is utilized for what it's actually intended going forward. If you go to the to slide 6, the challenges, there's a disclaimer audit opinion at the Lexco at the moment because there's a risk of going concern. There's a serious liquidity challenge. The company's going to run out of money, I think, next month. There are governance structure implications. The transfer of the ownership of the town is taking a long time, and that's further costs and challenges for Alexco. And then there's a reportable irregularity of reckless trading caused by the liquidity situation. At the PSJV, there's been a retrenchment of 150 staff. The PSJV itself has liquidity challenges, where they can't meet their statutory payments. The business at this point in time is not sustainable, and the current contracts and financial model needs to be looked at. So if you go to slide 7, I've already spoken to the fact that they can't meet their statutory payments, which is VAT pay as you earn. In the process of retrenchments, they can't pay the retrenchment costs of the employees. Because it's not a state-owned entity, there's non-compliance with the PFMA. They cannot pay the electricity bills and suppliers, which is a going concern challenge. And because of this, they don't conform to the PFMA or the Companies Act, there's a serious lack of good corporate governance. Slide 8, forward-looking, the plan is to do an extensive review of the mining and marketing contracts. The issue with reviewing the mining contracts is to see what the revenue split is between the contract miner and Alexco, to make sure that Alexco is getting fair value for money. The marketing contract is also to look at whether the markets are being traded at the prices that they should be traded at, and whether the diamonds are actually, the diamonds that are being mined are the diamonds being sold. A big issue is to confirm the geology. You can't mine blindly. You need to know exactly what you're looking at. You need to know what is this, you know what you can expect. So my view is that there, an exploration program needs to be undertaken to find out exactly what the resource is, so you can then do a mining plan from there. We need to review the operating model with a focus on the cost structure. You've got the head office, you've got the PSJV. You need to decide whether you put the head office at the PSJV or whether you shrink the structure at the PSJV itself. We need to look at the security around the diamonds. We need to look at policies, we need to look at procedures to bring them in line with either the Companies Act and the PFMA. That goes further on to say we need to review the governance structure of both Alexco and the PSJV. and we need to regularize the Richtersveld CPA. Thank you.
Thank you, Administrator. I think now is time for clarities and question and contribution. Honorable Mazzoni.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chair, Alex Corr is in a huge amount of trouble. And I think that this particular washover does this portfolio more of a disservice than a service. There are pertinent questions that we need answered. The first one being, where are we with the investigation that was requested and instructed by Pravin Gordhan, Minister of Public Enterprises, into operations at Alex Corr? What is the current situation with the chairperson and the SSI? Because the connection there was brought into question. What is the state of affairs when it comes to Alex Corr's board going to present before the Zondo Commission for what was very publicly known affiliations with State Capture and Gupta-affiliated companies? The tenders for diamond procurement, the alluvial diamond procurement. Now, this has been for 7 years. Every time Alex Corr comes here, it's the same question. We are told the land diamonds are finished and now we're going into the sea. Every time I open my computer, I have a different email from a different company in the area who's complaining that the tenders for the procurement of diamonds, for the scraping of the ground to get the diamonds, is not being fairly controlled. We need answers to these questions. And a report, Chairperson, was supposed to be forthcoming from Alex Corr with answers to all these questions. So this is not the first time we've asked these questions. This is the sixth or seventh time we're asking the same questions. Chair, the price for the raw diamonds that go on bidding every Thursday, I believe it is. Have we found out what benchmark is used in determining the price that we use for the raw diamonds? Because the last time we met, Chairperson, we were selling our raw diamonds at 60 points below Bloomberg's line, international line, and that was just one of the benchmarks that we looked at. 60 points below is a massive amount of money that could be being lost. Chair, we once had someone from Alex Corr, and I don't know if it was a mistake or if it was a slip of the tongue, but they told us quite proudly how they'd discovered pink diamonds and how pink diamonds were becoming one of the rarest commodities on earth. What about these pink diamonds? We've never heard anything about these pink diamonds again. Chair, the rehabilitation of the land. I'm one of the few people that's been up to Alex Corr. And thank you for coming down to us. I know exactly how long it takes to get to Alex Corr and the difficulties in getting there. Chair, I did not over-exaggerate when I told this committee when we first met that it looks like a concrete wasteland in the area. The ground is actually grey. It's not brown. It's not red like the soil that washes down the Orange River. It's grey. And not all of that is caused by Alex Corr. It's caused by companies that have mined diamond in that area for many, many years. But the land is unusable. So where are we on the rehabilitation of this land? And what environmental impact studies are we doing to make sure that any further activities that take place don't destroy the area completely? Because when I was there, for at least 2 kilometres, even inward of the sea, the marine life was being destroyed. I mean, Chair, I cannot emphasise what an absolute disaster area it is around there. And you cannot blame the people for being so completely upset about it. Chair, the township, and I hate that term, a township was supposed to be completed with service delivery, including sewage works, housing, electricity, schools, clinics. Chair, the last I heard, people are still living in shacks. They're still connecting illegally to electricity. They still have to travel into areas like Springbok to go to schools or to go to have any police stations, to have any clinics. Chair, this is not what was promised. So there are a lot of questions, Chair, and quite frankly, to drive or to fly all the way from Alex Corr to Parliament when your company doesn't have enough money to see you through to the end of the month without DPE having to step in and make sure that you get money, and you present 8 pages to the Portfolio Committee is unacceptable on every level.
Thank you. Honourable Member,
Thank you, Chairperson. Kevin Milam from the Portfolio Committee of Mineral Resources and Energy. Chairperson, my colleague, Honorable Mazzoni, has touched on a number of issues, but I'd like to pull up a few slightly different ones. The first is, if I have a look at slide 7, which is your challenges of Alex Corp, you've outlined the situation, but what you haven't informed this committee is why the situation exists. You've told us what the problem is, that you haven't got money for retrenchment, that you've got liquidity challenges. The question is, why have you got those challenges? And what are you doing to rectify the underlying causes? Then there was talk about the need for an extensive review of the geology, to confirm the geology. I'd just like to know, what is the relationship between Alex Corp and the Council for Geosciences, whose role it is to do that? What are the cost implications of that? And where are you in that process? According to the information that I have, this joint venture has generated over the past however many years roughly 3 billion rand in revenues. I could be wrong on that figure, I could be out on that figure, but that's the number that I have. How much has gone back into upgrading your critical operational support assets? The various pieces of equipment, the plant and machinery, etc., that is necessary to make sure that this is a sustainable business. And then lastly, given that this is very much a community-focused entity, that it is designed and put in place to support and benefit the Richtersveld community, what is being done to capacitate and empower small-scale marine mining? What is being done to make sure that those little guys get a foot in the door, that they have the skills that they need, that they are able to participate in this economy? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let's welcome the presentation. Clearly, Chairperson, when we started as the Portfolio Committee in the 6th administration, we did note and highlight the challenges that we saw, that we can see, that are met with Alex Corp. Hence, we call them today so that we can, in our oversight, we also give them the necessary attention. And that's what we are doing. And it's quite important to note that. Look, the situation is damning. The situation is worrying. Hence, we are here as members. My question would be simple, really. If the Deputy Minister, from an executive and political overview, if you could just explain to us, what is the advantage of us having Alex Corp? Simple. And what are the disadvantages? And perhaps when I ask my question, you understand why I'm asking those questions. Look, it's noted that communities own part of shares. It's about 49%. In your report on the governance, it notes that there has been a bit of breakdown with relationship within the same communities. But it also says that we had overstaffed people that don't have work to do. So now, where your business model comes in, you need to explain to us. In the acting DG, it said that in your slide 5, there was 5 million that was requested. That was 2018 because Alex Corp couldn't pay its salaries. Now, the question that I have to ask, what is the situation today? Are we going to be able to meet the demand and be able to sustain the business? And if we can sustain the business, what is the plan? But I'll also answer myself a bit, because you've presented us with an administrator today. So for me, I want to depart from that angle to person that says that since there is an administrator to deal with historical context issues that has been arising, I think I'll be more keen to perhaps interact with yourselves after the administrator has made their findings and put up the turnaround strategy, or rather the way forward, what needs to happen. And that way it becomes a meaningful discussion that we need to have, because then the question will be, this is how we can recover the business and why is it so important for us to make sure that we have the business. My last point will be, would want to really engage as a portfolio committee, perhaps chair, with the stakeholders involved. We are more worried and concerned about the labor, and but also the community around that place. So perhaps as part of our oversight, and when we come back, it's something that we would want to slot on there. So we'll find a better way how we can interact with the communities and people affected. For us, when we interact with the administrator at that level, at that point, we're able to make meaningful contribution so we take this business forward. Thank you.
Hi, thanks, Chair. I'll mostly cover just a two quick ones. In the presentation, Acting DG, in slides, I think, is four. Can you talk to the time frame for Kobodo investigations? Because I'm worried that we'll continue to do the investigations. And the second one is on slide five. You said the management, you find the management not in charge. Then what was your response to that, and what was your actions to that as the department? Otherwise, on all the points I was covered, sure thing.
Thank you, Chang. Maybe I covered by Honorable Jabu that we want to know the intervention or the action take by a department about the control of the management. And then which countries selling your diamond? Which countries that you are selling there? And then there was a fighting with between the community. What is the problem that getting the community fighting? And then is it any board members there? If it is not there, when are you going to nominate the board members? Thank you.
Thank you. You want to celebrate? Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I just forgot this point. You said the office is located in Woodmead in Johannesburg, yet the mine is in Northern Cape. Administrator, if you've done, I mean, you're only a few days in office. Perhaps the DPA can tell us, is that, why are we having that office there? I'm sure you know why. Is it still feasible for us to have there? And how much are we spending on that rental if we're renting that office? And what can we save from it? Because we're in a fiscal cliff, we want to save up. And you've got two walls apart, very distinct. You just mentioned to come here, it takes you forever. So we're in the head office that's in Woodmead, in the northern suburbs, very expensive, I would like to think. So how much are we spending and what can we save? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I think Deputy Minister, you have to start and then we give all other affected to answer.
No. Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you, honourable members. Let me just say first that the concerns that the honourable members have are legitimate, and we share these concerns. Perhaps it's one of those we have had to come before the committee. But if we had our way, we would have come here at least with certain things that we have put in place, having had time to really take effect. Let me start, and I know the acting DJ will assist with the questions to do with what of those investigations that were promised, how far progress has been made with that. Firstly, the acting DJ did allude to the legal firm that was appointed to, with the intention that it should proceed with the necessary investigations, where after the process in which that firm was appointed, it was found later that somewhat they were, in a way, compromised to some extent on related matters to do with the broader effort at capturing the operations of the state, corrupting those. Hence, there was a new process that was initiated, which led to the appointment of Gobodo, which is now in place, and that is where we are looking at finding the cause. While that is taking place, the board had lapsed, and they had to be put in place an administrator, and the administrator has just got into that space to try and help us to really fathom how best to proceed in the circumstances. But really, without pleading here, this is one of those in which we still need to do some further work to have a grip, and also by way of not just a grip, but also measures to effect interventions there. It is something that I would have been more comfortable coming back to it, to the committee. As of now, as I'm indicating, we've only gotten those into stream, and we will be able to, through reports, perhaps the time frames can help in terms of looking at feedback that we'll be getting in this. Certainly, this is not a very straightforward matter, a bit complicated by the fact that you're also dealing with a resettlement matter in respect of the land claim, for which it's not a straightforward thing, as you was explaining. We have a board comprising of some board members of Alexco, including the Richter South community, the CPA, that constitute this. So the operating model itself needs to be looked at. Yes, we are a 51% shareholder there, but certainly there are matters in which perhaps the officials may have been there a bit longer than I'm really flying over it. I'm hoping, like others have done, to get to fill the ground there. I think in no time I will be paying a visit there myself, Chair, just to enhance the ability to meaningfully interrogate and intervene on the matters there. But the acting DG, as well as the other team, or including also the team we have from that end, can then talk to the other matters that have been raised here. Thank you.
But there is this question I think we need to start with, which is raised by members here. The historical background. How did we find ourselves in this quagmire? I think we can answer all the questions. I'm saying, but that question needs to assist us so that we know what kind of animal we are dealing with here.
Chair, Rachtersveld is a relatively small community. There's about 3,000 beneficiaries of the land claim there. But the issues are very complex. And those members that have been in the previous iteration of this committee will testify to some of the infighting that goes on in that part of the world between the communities. And what it boils down to is we're trying to, through the land claim, we're trying to repair the damage that started in 1928. In fact, that's probably started way before then, but Alexco was established in 1928. And the purpose was to take the diamonds and buy arms. That's what it was used for. And the communities were displaced in order to enable the mine to be set up. And that really fractured that those communities. Since 2007, with the deal of settlement being concluded with the community, the state has come in to try and rectify that. We have, as the state, we're putting about R1 billion into that part of the world. I've spoken to the R200 million that has gone towards the recapitalization of the mine. But we have put money into the farming operations as well there to try and get them up and going. And those that recall Adexco, at its prime, it was literally taking care of all those communities. There were farming operations that were going there besides the mining. There was mariculture operations that were going on there. So it was quite a well-balanced setup that was in place there. But with the infighting that came in the community, what it has done as well, ordinarily, the portion that the community owns, they should be there looking after it. They should be making sure that the right decisions are being made for the benefit of the community. That's not happening for the simple reason that because of the infighting, even on that side of the community, there's administrators that are looking after the shareholding of the community because the structures, the CPA and related structures that were put in place are in disarray. And unfortunately, money, when I talk about this R1 billion, I mean, there's about R300 million that is sitting in an investment trust, which we have reason to believe that it has been used to fuel some of these conflicts. And we have agreed to rural development in the past that this SIU would be brought in to look into that area of things. Because unfortunately, what we can speak to here as Adexco, as DP, we can speak to Adexco's issues. But there's rural development, there's COCTA issues. There's the question that was being asked with regard to the township. COCTA is involved there. So it's quite multifaceted. So in a small community, it's a big land area. Unfortunately, I think the complexity of its issues are such that, you know, they've landed us here. What has not helped is when state capture comes in. You know, you bring in directors that are supposedly coming in to look after public interests, but they start to look after their own interests. For instance, I mean, the SSI contract, there's no other way to define it, but to say it smells of corruption all over it. You have an entity that gets formed not long after the requirement the requirement is published, and it gets the contract. There's no track record as an entity of having been in this type of business. So those are the things that we're going to have to look. That's what has happened. Unfortunately, the root of all this, unfortunately, is money, which has divided the community, compounding the mess that, unfortunately, apartheid left behind for us. And that's what we are dealing with here. So I hope in that way I'm just getting the members to appreciate what we have here. And our reach as a department into the business has been limited by the fact that it is not an SOC. The PSJV is an unincorporated entity. Though we have a 51% interest, ordinarily if it was incorporated, it would be an SOC because it would be a subsidiary of Adexco. The management at Adexco have been literally been disallowed from getting in because of how the deed of settlement was put together, the understanding of the deed of settlement, because of the animosities that had come from the time that Adexco was in charge of that whole area there. So that's the complexity of it, Chair. The question with regard to the Zondo Commission, all these investigations, Chair, once they are concluded, we'll table them at Zondo. And there will be an expectation that the leadership at Adexco will go and appear there and speak to them. They will certainly be called. So that's like the same way we have done with the other entities where forensic investigation reports were put before Zondo Commission and the leadership went in there and spoke to their contents. And of course, those that are implicated will also have to have an option to go and answer for themselves. The rehabilitation, we have made provision. The billion rand that I was speaking, there is provision for rehabilitation of the area, but we also have to do it responsibly. That's, for instance, we, in order to sustain the operations down there, we're looking at releasing some of the money from rehabilitation fund. But we did not have the confidence that we have management that will ensure that those funds are well looked after. So we are only now, with the administrator being in place, in a position where we can say we can release those funds so that we can ensure that the funds are properly utilized. And Alexco team will speak to the township upgrade issues. I've spoken to Mr. Malen to the wider challenges exist, and hopefully the investigations will tell us more on that. The geoscience relationship, they will speak to that as well. Maybe I should also let the team speak to how the revenues that are realized, the 3 billion rands that was referred to, how it is actually shared amongst the people there, and also speak to small scale mining. Maybe let me get the team to respond. We'll see which questions have not been answered and answer them if it needs to be.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay, just on the issue of the Geoscience, Council for Geosciences, we will talk to the Council for Geosciences. We're also going to talk to the bigger companies that are operating in that space there to find out whether they've got any geological data that can assist us with the mining plan going forward. If in the absence of that, we'll obviously have to embark on our own exploration program. I also think that the issue around the 200 million rand loan, the loans is that I feel that the previous boards haven't closely managed the use of the money. I'm still trying to look into what justification was brought to the board to release that amount of cash to an operation that clearly can't pay the money back. So I will report back once I'm done with that. Regarding the pricing of the diamonds, we are going to look into the marketing contract with SSI, and we will look whether we were getting value for money. We're also going to look at the cost structure of the mining contractor and the cost structure of the mine itself to see whether the relationship and the split of the revenue is fair or unfair. Yeah, that's my part.
Thanks, Chair. Just to actually get back to our Kevin on the geoscience, we started negotiations with those three tiers, geoscience, AMSCO, IMT, and Alexco. So what's going to happen now after the NDAs and MOU signed, we're going to use the planes that geoscience owns and the pilots from the Air Force. So that is just the logistics that are currently ongoing because of the financial constraints. And coming to the marketing part of it, on Amazon, if there's a pink diamond that is not declared, actually that's illegal, because what we get is a diamond register that comes from the mine and that we send to the DMR. In our diamond register, we haven't seen a pink diamond. So if anybody says there's pink diamonds coming from Alexco and they're not declared, that we don't know. I mean, I just look at the register because that's what we submit to the statistics. So anything outside the diamond register, I'll take it as fraud. Coming to the rehabilitation, we have completed the legacy rehab. There's two types of rehabilitation. The one that the acting DG talked about, the one that started from 1928, which we call legacy rehab, and then there's concurrent rehabilitation. Concurrent rehabilitation, you mine, you close, you move to the next block. The legacy rehab, unfortunately, it's something that had to be set aside, and it is a Lexco problem. It's not a PSJB problem. We're doing it in three phases, phase one up to phase three. Phase one is completed. And we were going to start phase two, but like the acting DG said, we wanted to save costs, because to set up any construction or type of work at Alexco, your PNG is around 12 million, people taking machines and equipment. So we are looking at the cheaper way of doing it, but the confidence was not there with the current structure, so it was delayed. And I think now the time is right to do it, because the cost savings can be realized. The marine life question, we're working on the DMR law. We are under NEMA, and they come twice a year. And if there's anything illegally, environmentally done, I think Department of Environmental Affairs and Department of Mineral Resources and Energy will be the first to let us know. So far, we haven't had a red flag from both of those departments. And I know there's a concern that we are going to mine the Orange Delta. We haven't started mining there. It's a mining right that exists, and we're busy talking to Environmental Affairs on how we can get around ourselves mining there without damaging the environment. So if there's any report that we are damaging the marine life, that should be actually shared with us. I'll highly appreciate it. But as far as our environmental department is concerned, we do submissions every year, and we don't get any red flags from the environmental department and Department of Mineral Resources. Coming to the township proclamation or handling of it, this is the process that's been going on for 7 years. And unfortunately, it wasn't going at the rate that it should be going, due to the fact that the acting DG, so there's too many stakeholders involved. There's too many departments, provincial, local, and so on. But having said that, we have then decided to do it in phases as well. So phase one being your public institutions, hospitals, police station, parks, schools, those will be transferred effectively next year, 1st of June 2020. The Office of the Premier has also taken over the process. So by so doing, everything that was being lagging behind is now being accelerated. The Premier has promised to be there on the 8th of October, and all the MOUs and the NDAs that were supposed to be signed by different provincial departments, because you're dealing with education department nationally and education department regionally to transfer school. So it's not actually a straight line process. You've got two departments plus Alexco plus municipality. But that process, I think our legal team can add more to it. I think it's going smoothly. By the 8th of October, we'll sign all the necessary paperwork that needs to be signed. Empowerment of small-scale miners. We engaged Barloworld at one stage to fund our shallow mining diving program. So the problem is that because people have done the diving, doesn't necessarily mean they'll be able to mine, because like somebody referred to, it's a cost exercise. You need proper diving equipment to start on your own. But we are looking at it, and the program was led by Alexco. So the bad weather also didn't help, because you have to go for safety reason on a very good weather. But we are looking at continuing with the program. Barloworld is still interested in funding that program. Yeah, I think I've said most.
So on the issue of why do we have Alexco? They did a settlement actually in 2007 and said in 5 years, the state, you can step out and the community can get a partner that can go in with them. But these challenges have meant that we have not been able to do that. And like we said when we presented earlier, as much as this mine only produces 1% of the diamonds in the country, in that part of the world, which is a very sparsely populated area and quite a big area, it really, if Alexco were to, the PGA man were to disappear tomorrow, it leaves a big hole economically in that part of the world. Now, we need to, with the community, come to an arrangement where we say, how do we ensure that the funds that are being generated today are able to develop economic activities that will go on for a long time? My own impression going there is that you have a huge river with fresh water that is going down, literally going into the sea every minute, literally. A proper irrigation system like Alasco has done in the past, but at a much more extensive scale, can ensure that the land there is utilized to ensure that you have a thriving and sustainable agricultural operations. And that has been proven. At some point, we brought one of the agricultural marketing companies on board, and they planted about 60 hectares of wheat in that part of it. And they produced, and they showed that it is possible these things can be done. But when they require the community workers one, because the dysfunctionality in the community is not helping us, because you can't do this without the community. That's one thing that is very important. And I know our colleagues at Rural Development have now started the process of actually putting the CPAs and structures under administration because of all the challenges that I've outlined earlier. The business model definitely has to be looked at. We have to ensure, and that's what the administrator was saying, to ensure that there's a fair distribution of proceeds from the mining that is going on there. So everyone has to open their books and show what their cost structures are looking like. It cannot be that you have these diamonds, 50,000 carats that are produced every year, but you have a business that has liquidity crunch. We either right-size the operations to the revenues that we have so that the business can be sustainable, or we look at it closely to say who's getting the fat out of this, and that's we're going to have to look at. But and you can see some people are getting a good fat out of a chair when you look at the kind of fat that they put up. The liquidity challenge that Alex here, it's a situation where you have even Alex with the funds that have been transferred, they're getting interest out of it every month. If you don't right size your operations to the amount of money you have, you're gonna keep on wanting to run back to government to help. We can't have that. We can't have SOCs that do not manage their funds properly and expect government to come and bail them out. There is money that's getting generated. There is diamonds that are getting sold at the mine. There is interest that's getting earned from the cash holdings at Alexco. People must just learn to live within their means. You can't have, I mean, the questions that have been asked, and Alexco still owes Member Shabalala a response on that in terms of how much are these costs of being in at what meet, how much are they costing them? And the question that comes up, obviously, naturally from that is, how do you right-size your operation to live within your means? I mean, at least the office in Rechtersveld is free. You don't have to pay rent on it. The length of time of, we had given Govord a very tight timeline. In actual fact, their brief, conference was supposed to come to an end on Friday. They've asked for an extension. So within a couple of weeks, we should have a report that comes out of their work. So we have been quite tight to them, because we also want to have scientifically investigated outcomes before us, before we can act. The management at the mine, Chair, this has been a subject of also parliamentary questions, where we are asked, how do you end up with a chap who is an HR officer, literally running a mine? And that's what we have. But that's what happens with state capture. You end up with ill-suited people being put in positions that ordinarily should not be in. But we are doing something about it, and the administrator must help us out in that regard as well. So we have a lot of expectations. Where are the diamonds ending? 90% of the world diamonds go to India. They are cut, they are polished and cut in India. We do very little beneficiation in this country. We're supposed to be beneficiating about 10% of all diamonds that are recovered here, supposed to go to the state diamond trader. But there are also problems there. And I think Honorable Malan can tell you quite a bit about the diamonds sitting on the political committee he sits on. diamonds that are supposed to be getting into this, into the polishing industry here, are not making it here. They're still going out. And those are some of the things that our colleagues in other parts of the government need to help us with, because those are intended to create jobs here. I mean, the Northern Cape, by virtue of being a big producer of diamonds, and should be having some of those jobs. And we won't appoint bond members until the work of the administrator is done. That work must be, because it doesn't help to put a strike that's going to cost you a lot of money on a business that's not making money. So he needs to finish his job first, then we'll see what you need to do. Thank you, Chair. On the Woodmead question, Alec.
The cost of the head office in Woodmead is about 144,000 rand a month, with all inclusive in terms of lights, water, security, and electricity. The basis of why initially Alexco head office was established in Johannesburg was the fact that we were solely dependent on the PSJV for income and to sustain it. And there were initially other projects in the pipeline, including the diamond beneficiation and the coal beneficiation. So that was the rationale behind why it was initially located in Woodmead. The
good morning. Sorry about that. Good morning, honourable members. Just on two questions. We are currently interacting with the State Attorney's Office on transferring. They've already started the process of transferring some of the properties in respect of the township transfer. And then secondly, just to alert the committee that we are interacting with the Zondo Commission at the moment. We've been providing them with information, and they've come back to request even more information. And so we are in the process of interacting with the Zondo Commission.
Yeah, Chair. The other one, just to add to the acting DG about why keeping Alex. So ARC has declared, Agricultural Research Council has declared that area in Drachtersveld disease-free. So like the acting DG was saying, if you have a agricultural disease-free area, that's actually a gold mine for agricultural processing or processes. And we are looking at what, mariculture, real agriculture, and like ADG said before, there was a thriving ostrich farm that actually, because of its nature, it was the most profitable in the country. So we can create hope, chairperson. It's just that people have to start putting the interest of the community ahead of theirs and then personal interest.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, we speak about state capture as if it's over and done with. It's not over and done with, Chairperson. State capture continues, and it continues because in Alexco we're allowing it to continue. Now, we've got the board who no longer exists, so we have administrators in place. Certainly with the new attorneys that have been brought on board to do the forensic investigation, the very first thing we should be doing is getting an urgent interdict to cancel the contract with Scarlet Sky, a company that we know that has been proved to have state capture affiliates. It was a company that was brought on board by a legal advisor who was appointed after Salim Issa sent letters to the chairpersons of Alex Corp. This is all in the public domain. It is known. We are losing possibly millions and millions of rand every month because of state capture. We had the ability now to put our foot down and say it goes no further, but still we allow a company like SSI to be in charge of the marketing of our diamonds. It's ludicrous. The very first thing we should be doing is getting an interdict to cancel the contract.
Honorable, sorry, Honorable Gumede, I'm sorry. You were supposed to be the first one in this round. I apologize. Can you come?
I'm given an opportunity here to speak. To the administrator, I think we are as new as perhaps as yourself. What is unfortunate here, we don't have a reference document if a person wants to refer anything on Alexco, and then you go and get that document, you page it through, and you get information. I wish to propose to you, Chair, that as a committee, we don't accept this report, but we request that it goes back and be put, I've never had bones, but I'll say bones and meat. We may get veins as well. That will tell us exactly all what I'm saying. Expand on the document than putting bullets, you know, just one sentence. I'll be happy if then on this document we expand the narrative. We want the narrative part of it. You know, you compare these two, as much as this one, it's more or less the same, but there is little bit of flesh here. You can get the meaning. But here it's only one, it's not even a sentence, it's one word. So if we say we accept this, I think we don't know what exactly we'll be doing. I'll stop there, Chair. I had another point, but in because of time, I'll wait there.
No,
thank you, Chair. I just have one question, which emanates from the response to the question that asked, when is this forensic going to be concluded? And the answer was that in a period of a week's time, more or less. My question is, did they had a preliminary report? Because I would assume that they must have had a preliminary report before the final report, which could have given them some kind of the understanding as to what they to expect, so that they would be able to try and come up with some plans as to how they would arrest some of these challenges before the final report is given.
Chairperson, my apologies. Just a quick follow-up. Honorable Chabalala, I asked a question to say why we need the two offices. If that answer was given, I think it's left there. So can I be taken through? And Honorable Chair, the SNDG, in his last presentation 5, he said the management was not in charge. And I think you were so dynamic and so professional to answer that. Can you pull it through? And what have you done as a DPE? And what is the role of the DPE after receiving the Koboto investigation? What is expected from the DPE? What will be done? And what is expected from us to do the oversight over there? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. On slide 6 of the department, it says 1, 2, 3, 4. It says part of the administrator's job is to terminate marketing and sales contract with Scarlet and propose solutions, options for the establishment of the owned diamond. So for me, I think I am comfortable. The terms of reference of the administrator is clear at this point. We have diagnosed a little bit of challenges. We have not really went in depth. However, I'm still concerned. I mean, why must we have pay 145,000 a month? We're not getting value for money there. We're under administration right now. We are paying exorbitant salaries to people there who've put up in a mess. There's a mess. So we want this Alex school. So DM, it's unfortunate you just came in. How many months are you? I feel pity for you. I don't want to be you right now. But clearly where we are, it cannot be business as usual. So Chip is in our parting shot right now because we want to get to SAA. That Benin thinks that we don't want to be pressed for time. We appreciate Alefco, the little bite that we've had at this point. And acting DTG, I'm happy with your tone. I want to feel it more, but it must bite the tone. You've known what are the problems. Let's resolve them ASAP. Thanks.
Deputy Minister, want to final word? But we go to us.
No, thank you, Chair. Let me assure the committee that we will present to the committee the steps that we would take. Soon as the report, I think the question whether or not we have a preliminary report, final report, the bottom line is the final report, we are anticipating receiving it in a few days' time. We will detail the steps we will be taking in that, and we will really appraise the committee of that. We have had to reflect as well on the issue of some of the offices of some of our SOCs that are in Johannesburg and Pretoria when the operations are either in Mpumalanga or in the Northern Cape, as the case is here. We are really not in support of that to the extent that this is part of the conversation with the boards we sought to really straighten, particularly in the with the background of finances. Some of these completely do not make a lot of sense, really. The peculiarity, though, in this instance is also really calling for a lot of a closer introspection. That is what, through the process we have led by the administrator, we're hoping to then close the noose around all those loose ends, and we will come back to the committee in that respect. I feel for the team insofar as the comprehensiveness of the information provided, and I think we should be able to make an accompaniment to whatever is an abbreviated presentation with a narrative. Perhaps maybe we should look into making both those as we bring information here so that there is a lot more detail perhaps to those things that are summarized. But other than that, Chair, we really welcome the exchange. I don't know if DG, I missed anything.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM. I think you have covered it. The issue of management not being in charge that was asked, and the fact that you have an administrator is really a product of that. And I wish we could intervene much more strongly in the PSJV, but corporate governance does not allow us. So now the instrument we have is the administrator to ensure that we are able to do that, and we have the proper team put in place there. Thank you so much.
Honorable members, there is a proposal from Honorable Kumede that I don't want to assume that we all in agreement about it. Let's ask the Alefco that we don't accept this report, and then perhaps when they come back, they improve. Is it the feeling of the House?
Yeah. I thought Honorable Gumede was kind of saying that the information is not, and Honorable Telezi, that it's not sufficient. So we want more elaborations. If you say challenges, how it was punched to Chairperson, you know that we don't accept. I mean, it's information that was the basis of a discussion. So the issue was for them to give us more information and the document to be beefed up so it can be emailed. I think that's the sense, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. The thinking is that in the next presentation, we would like more flesh and improvement of this document.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to ensure that I don't come out here with the belief that the board is suggesting. All what we are saying is it's not enough. We need more information in relation to this report. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, ALESCO leadership, the secretary, and the CEO, and the team. We appreciate your kind of taking this distance to on our request to be part of this meeting. Now we will ask. In the process, while you take just one quick cup of coffee, we ask ESA to come where you are. Not that this is a guilty kind of. The arrangement of these walls are very terrible.